In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody out there in radio and internet land. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. And I say good morning because it certainly is a good morning. The day before the Super Bowl, record-breaking temperatures. I think it's supposed to be a high of 80 degrees today. Tomorrow, 81. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous week so far. I got a great show lined up for you today here on 1430 ESPN. Every Saturday from 10 to 12, talking your high school sports here. So for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking about basketball playoffs, a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball. But mainly basketball, to be honest. And how much basketball are we going to be talking about today for the next 2 hours? A lot and lot of basketball. That's a lot of basketball. You guys remember this song? From 1984. Curtis Blow, the basketball song. He starts rapping about Dr. J. I like the slam dunks. I like the pick and rolls. Just a classic song right now. So this is the basketball heavy show. Why? Because the playoffs are going to be announced today on the CIF Central Section website. Along with soccer. Soccer is going to be announced as well. So we're thinking before 4 o'clock for sure. Might even surprise us. Might be around 2 o'clock. But, yeah, all the basketball playoffs are going to be listed there. The seedings, obviously, the times, you know, who's going where. It's going to be 5 divisions this year, including the open division. So we're going to be predicting that as well. I got a couple fellow basketball junkies coming on the show after the break. We'll be talking with producer Gabe Camarillo. About what we've seen. You know, basketball is one of our main sports, and we broadcast on 1430 a basketball game every week. So we really enjoyed that. This week we had Hoover and Sunnyside. And speaking of Hoover, I got the head coach coming on the show at the top of the hour. So a little after 11 o'clock, head coach Tazelle Archie will join us to talk Patriot hoops, what it takes to build a program, what it felt like to return to his alma mater and coach, and, of course, his playing days at Pepperdine. He had a nice career at Pepperdine, just researching his life and his career. And, yeah, he had especially his senior year. So it would be a lot of fun to talk to Coach Archie. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be bringing in Paul Hernandez. Paul came on at the beginning of basketball season, and he does a great job breaking down teams. He sees a lot of games. I would say he sees 4 games a week. The guy grinds it out. So it'll be fun to talk to Paul, but mainly about the Bakersfield area schools, because we don't know a whole heck of a lot about the Bakersfield area schools, and that's where he's based. So we'll get to know the teams a little bit more. And see how they stack up around some of our Fresno, Clovis schools and the surrounding schools as well. At the bottom of hour number 2, at around 11:30, we have our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, Atoya Montgomery from Clovis West. She's a junior. I'm pretty sure she's going to be named the track girls basketball player of the year. She is. She's just kind of one of those. In the long line of Clovis West girl basketball superstars. So it'll be fun to talk to her at the bottom of hour number 2. And I think Coach Craig Campbell is also going to be joining us as well. So looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun. Like I mentioned, basketball playoffs are going to be announced on the Central Section website before 4 o'clock, as well as the soccer playoffs. We talked about this on the show. It's all over social media and Twitter, but there were some changes that came about. We talked last week about, I think it was Tuesday, there was a big meeting at the CIF Central Section office, and they made some changes. No more of the just purely max preps rankings, regardless of school size and previous divisions. That's how they're going to do it. And there's just a lot of talk. You know what? There needs to be some changes, and some changes quick. And so they voted, and so now there is a base where you can only move up one division or down one division. So let's say you are a perennial Division III team and your base is Division III. You can only go up to Division II or down to Division IV. You can't jump up. You know, say you have a 29-0 year or a 30-0 year. You can't jump all the way up to Division I. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. But, yeah, that's how playoffs are going to work. I want to mention some milestones that happened this week. It's always fun to celebrate milestones either by coaches or by some of the student athletes. We're kind of in the middle of COVID still, and it's frustrating for a lot of teams. And there's been some games canceled and some games moved around. We saw that in football as well. But here at 1430, the leader of high school sports, we like to highlight the kids. We'd like to talk about all the good stuff that's going on. So first of all, I want to say congrats to the Clovis West boys and girls. They both went 10-0 in the track. They're both going to be clear-cut number one seeds in the open division. Coach Vance Wahlberg for the boys and Coach Craig Campbell for the girls. They dominated again. I saw a graphic from Clovis West. In their last 17 years, it's their 17th straight track championship. There are 164 wins and 4 losses. Don't know where those other two went missing there, because that adds up to 168. But, yeah, that is dominant. Are you kidding me? 164-4 in the league. That is just remarkable. And also congrats on the CMAC side. Sound Key Memorial boys and girls also went undefeated at 10-0. Sound Key Memorial, we're expecting them to get the number 3 seed behind Clovis West and St. Joe's. On the girls' side, looks like they're going to be in Division I. They were in Division II for a long time, but they swept the CMAC, and we're thinking they're going to be like a 2 or 3 seed in Division I, not in the open division. If you guys haven't heard, there's a couple stud freshmen out there on the boys' side. Freshman from Coalinga who is legit, 6'4". I've seen highlights of this kid. He's dunking, you know, on fast breaks off the backboard. Kids are throwing alley-oops. His dad is the coach at West Hills College. His name is Julius Olenweju, and he came to Fresno Christian last week and scored 46 points. So it was like his first trip into Fresno, so a lot of guys got to see him and said, yeah, this kid's legit. And on the other hand, he is actually the freshman record holder right now in the central section for points scored. And St. Joe's has a kid that we've talked about a lot, Tunde Yesofru. The kid's amazing. We're definitely going to be seeing him in the playoffs. So it looks like San Joaquin Memorial is probably going to travel over there. But, yeah, this kid is legit. So, we'll keep an eye on him. Dinuba coach Jeff Schofield reached his 200th career win on December 8th. So that was a while ago. And Schofield's now the winningest coach in school history, passing Jake Clausen, who had 185 wins. They got a really good team this year. They're 25-3. They're projected to be the 2 seed in Division II. So congrats to Dinuba. They're also the Central Sequoia League champs. And Sierra's got a good little basketball team up there. Logan Kilbert, a sophomore, passed 1,000 points. So obviously 1,000 points is an excellent career, and that's a milestone. He's well on his way to getting 2,000 points. 2,000 points. I think there's been 24 basketball players, boys basketball players, have scored over 2,000 points. Joseph Hunter from San Joaquin Memorial is one of them. But, yeah, Logan Kilbert of Sierra is well on his way to 2,000. Looks like they are projected to be the number one seed in Division IV. So I did mention we're going to talk a little bit about baseball. So here's our baseball news. And next week we're going to be breaking down the teams a little bit more as we are going to be swinging into the baseball season. But today, at 11 o'clock, yeah, it's 10:15 right now. At 11 o'clock, Buchanan is playing a doubleheader starting at 11, and the second game will follow, obviously. So Buchanan's ranked number 11th nationally right now. The Cal High Sports baseball rankings haven't come out, but, yeah, if you want to go see some baseball on this gorgeous day, go over there, head out to Buchanan, because they're going to be playing a doubleheader. And last night – There actually was the first baseball game of the year, and it was definitely a memorable one for Murph Gray. He's one of the best baseball players in the Central Section from Madera South. What did that kid do? He signed. First of all, he has already signed with Fresno State. He's a stud. He threw a perfect game. He threw a perfect game at Washington Union on only 80 pitches. 80-pitch perfect game for Murph Gray of Madera South. That is incredible. When we talk to Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break, Clovis High got their new football coach. He announced it. He was there at the announcement ceremony. So we'll be talking with Gabe about that. His name is Aaron Wilkins. I'm going to be also breaking down playoffs a bit with Gabe. Coming up after the break on the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Central Valley Sports Report. I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I just want to keep that song rolling. Those are my guys. 21 Pilots. Love those guys. They're amazing. I've seen them twice in concert. Once at Save Mart Center. Once in Oakland. Yeah, check them out. 21 Pilots. All right. Here at First String Sports on Blackstone and Sierra Avenue, come on down to First String Sports. They are the leader in high school sports equipment. You could come get your Letterman's jackets. I am in the Letterman's jackets room. I call it the place to be because it is. I love doing my show here. Now I got my little Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters sign, the table where I sit at. Whatever guests are coming on the show, I grab one of the chairs that has the school's logo in it. So I mentioned I have Tazer Archie, the boys' basketball coach. I got the Hoover chair right here. I'm looking at all the Letterman's jackets, Buchanan, Clovis West, Kingsburg, San Joaquin Memorial, Liberty. People are coming in and out all the time. They're getting them embroidered. They're seeing what type of font they want to use. They see what colors they want to use because you can switch up the colors a little bit. But yeah, come on down here to First String Sports. They have been, they've been my number one sponsor since the show started back in August. So I am indebted and grateful to First String Sports. All right, I'm going to bring in Gabe Camarillo here. Gabe is he writes for the Clovis Roundup. We've broadcasted games together. It seems like when I go to a game, there's Gabe as well. And Gabe's probably thinking the same thing. When Gabe's like, when I'm at a game, Paul's always there. So I have a lot of fun talking with Gabe about Central Section sports. Gabe, let's start with the basketball playoffs. And let's start with the girls first. We talk a lot about Clovis West, and there's good reason. I mentioned what their league record is in the last 17 years. Those 164 wins are phenomenal. Just looking at who's projected to be in the open division, again, there's only four teams in the open. It's like Clovis West, Bakersfield, St. Joe's, and Napomo. Unfortunately, we don't know a lot about those other schools, right? They haven't come down here and played any of our teams in the Central Section. It's interesting. And then on the Division I side, there you have some familiar names. You got Buchanan, Central, San Joaquin Memorial. You got Liberty, Bakersfield, Stockdale, so two Bakersfield area schools. Then you got Clovis East, Clovis, and Mission Prep. But, Gabe, Clovis West girls have to be the absolute overwhelming favorite, don't they?
I think so, and they've earned that because even though they've been young this season, they haven't really had a lot of seniors, which is kind of weird because last year that team was known for their seniors. They've still got the job done, and they're young, and that shows you that not only are they going to be contenders this year, but next year as well. I did talk to Coach Campbell because they played St. Joseph last year in that COVID-shortened season. So they have played St. Joseph recently, but he said it's a different-looking Knights team. They added some transfers. They just won their league last night. I think our mutual friend Harold Abend was there, so he kind of reported on that win over Napomo. Those two teams, St. Joseph and Napomo, they played each other last night. They're both looking like they're going to be in the open division. And speaking of Napomo, that looks like who Clovis West is going to face in the semifinal, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, and then going over to Division One, again, there are a lot of familiar faces, but there's San Joaquin Memorial. There's been a lot of talk about about the Panthers. We know about Jackie White, their coach, who was a legend over there and came back and coached the team and stepped down. I think probably about halfway through the year, right after they came back from Texas. So I don't think she coached in a league game, but yeah, a lot of people, the fans, you know, the media types, and we really wanted to see a San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West matchup, right? Selfishly speaking, like, well, I wanted to see those two teams play each other in the open division for supremacy. Because I mean, let's be honest, I think that San Joaquin Memorial is the second best team in the Central Section right now. So on one hand, we're going to be denied being able to for them to settle it on the court. But yeah, in Division One, Buchanan, they actually have a win over San Joaquin Memorial. I think Memorial was down a couple players, but you know, Buchanan's looking pretty strong as well. And then there's Central, and then Memorial, like we talked about, and then at the bottom we got Clovis East and Clovis. But, yeah, I mean, Buchanan and San Joaquin Memorial and Central, those teams look pretty strong too, don't they?
Absolutely. And I think you have a good argument when you say San Joaquin Memorial is the second-best team in this section. Just look at the talent that they have. Asha Sraw, senior point guard, used to play at Clovis North, gave Clovis West some problems when she was with the Broncos. Meadow Rowland, last year's Valley Player of the Year by a couple publications here in the local area. I think Meadow Rowland's really, really good. And she's only a junior, so next year – you never know, Paul. I mean, this San Joaquin Memorial team, just like Clovis West, is pretty young. They do have a little bit more seniors than Clovis West, but I think it's still a possibility next season these two teams could meet in the playoffs, the long-awaited matchup. It just seems like the longer and longer we wait, the more and more excited we get to see these two teams face. But unfortunately, the way it's looking like right now in the rankings, it probably won't be this spring.
Yeah, it won't be. All right, before we move on to boys, a couple quick notes about girls. So there was a lot of talk last year with Carruthers. They had a phenomenal girls team. They got put in the open, and they lost to Clovis. So, you know, obviously there's going to be some controversy about that because they're a small school, have a really good program over there. Looks like right now, because our Central Section playoff rules were changed, or the criteria has changed, they're going to be the number one team in Division III. So no more of this controversy about them being even moved up to Division I or the open. Looks like they are going to be placed in Division III. Division II, looks like Sierra, Porterville, Golden Valley, and Sierra Pacific are projected to be the top four seeds. Okay, in Division II. Let's move on to the boys. The boys, it seems like, Gabe, this has been set for the last, I don't know, the last month, right? Clovis West, St. Joe's, San Joaquin Memorial, and Clovis North. You know, Clovis North and West are obviously very, very familiar with each other, but what intrigues me is that St. Joe's and San Joaquin Memorial matchup. Right, you got Joseph Hunter on Memorial. We got the freshman stud at St. Joe's. St. Joe's is the defending champion. Hey, if I could be at two places at once, I would love to watch both of those games. But yeah, this isn't that a tasty matchup?
Man, I agree with you there as well. I just think that it's so exciting. Tunde Yusufu, the freshman for St. Joseph, going up against Joseph Hunter. Then you got Luis Marine, Dre Roman for St. Joseph, going up against Amara Caraway and Mike Davis. It's Big Three versus Big Three, and both these teams are very similar in that they have a lot of talented bigs, a lot of athletic players, wings, but they're also similar in that depth is not a strength of theirs. So we're going to see a lot of stars on the court, but I think the key in that matchup, and again, we don't know if it's going to happen. It's probably, we'd say 99.8% possibility it's going to happen in that semifinal for open. The key in that matchup is going to be which bench can outperform the other bench, because we both know what each team has starter-wise. I think depth has been an issue for both sides, and so that'll be the X factor.
Yeah, again, projections that were posted on the CAF Central Section website. You could go there and you could look at past projections and see where teams might be placed. But again, the official playoff brackets are going to be coming out before 4 o'clock today. So let me just run down Division One, and then I want to just kind of pick apart some. I highlighted a couple of schools that fell in Division Two, Three, and Four that are interesting. But I want to go over the projections for Division One right now. It's number one Bakersfield Christian, Centennial, Central, Clovis East, Porterville, Independence, Bullard, and Buchanan. Of note, Mount Whitney, right? Mount Whitney was just on the cusp, but they have a couple losses. They were a team that were 29-0, but they were on the cusp of maybe even being the open division as far as the old playoff criteria. Like, what, Mount Whitney in the open division having a good year? But, you know, that'd just kind of be a massacre. Even in Division One, they might struggle. So right now they are projected as the number one seed in Division Two. The Pioneers over there down in Mount Whitney and Visalia. Sanger is projected to be eighth in Division II. Another couple things have popped in my mind. Golden Valley projected number one in Division III. There is Kingsburg at number four. And Kalinga, we mentioned their stud freshman, is going to be right in the middle of Division III. Division IV, I mentioned Sierra with Logan Kilbert, is projected number one. And Kerman is projected number one in Division V. Okay, Gabe. We've done a lot of basketball talk. Let's transition. Let's pivot a little bit to football. You were at the announcement for the new Clovis High football coach, Aaron Wilkins. He was a surprise name that popped up when they were talking about some candidates. The guy's had an interesting career. He's got connections to Josh Allen at Fireball. He coached a Fireball, coached at Reedley College, done the college thing as well. So, yeah, what do you know about Aaron Wilkins, and what did you see at that press conference?
Well, if he was their third choice, he's a heck of a third choice. I do think I've heard that a lot from people when I'm talking to them about this hire. I'm asking alums and local fans of football, what do you think about the Clovis High hire? And they're saying, well, he was their third choice. Then that's a heck of a third choice, because if your first choice is Kyle Bazin and your second choice is Jazz Baines, then Aaron Wilkins is a really good runner-up, because I think he checks all the boxes that you should look for in a high school football hire. Does he have a connection to a local Valley icon? Yes, Josh Allen. He coached Josh Allen, JV Fireball. And he also helped recruit Josh Allen to Reedley College. Talking to him afterwards, he told me about a story of how he helped bring Josh Allen to Reedley. Never had the chance to coach him because he ended up going to Liberty University after that. But there's another connection right there, right? Liberty and in Northern Illinois. That's another box you can check off. He has college coaching experience. We saw that with Eric Brown when he was hired a year ago. He had college coaching experience, and that's important, I think, for a high school football coach to be able to say, I've recruited kids before to colleges, and I know what it takes to help raise young men into becoming better players and better men. So I do think that this is a really good hire. Very interesting guy, talking about where he's been all over the country, Northern Illinois, Liberty University. He grew up in the mountains in Yosemite. He went to high school in Yosemite. He was telling me a story about how he used to run up to Yosemite Falls every morning as a training routine with his teammates. And I was just like, this guy is going to be a lot of fun to talk to. So many stories in Aaron Wilkins. It was impossible to get all of them out in 15 minutes talking to him. But I'm looking forward to talking to him more. And I do think that Clovis High, the hiring process, I think it's been criticized by many because obviously the alums there are thirsty for a championship, right? The Drive for Nine is what it's called. Yeah. But I do think that it's important to give this some time because Clovis High right now just had a heck of a senior class that's going to be leaving. When you're losing Nate Johnson, Tristan Risley, and then the Jackson Closter quarterback that was supposed to be the next guy up, now is at Clovis North, the cupboard's bare there a little bit. So you want to wait for there to be a rebuild. It's not going to be overnight, but I do think the direction is in the right direction with Aaron Wilkins.
Well, there's going to be three new coaches in the track next year, along with Wilkins. Ross Wood is taking over for Matt Giordano at Buchanan, and Brandon Nagel's taking over for Ryan Reynolds at Clovis West. And we'd be remiss because we really like Rich Hammond. He's been a friend of the show. He's been a good guy. So he is being replaced by Aaron Wilkins. So obviously, again, we wish the best for Rich Hammond. Baseball today. Here's our 1 minute of baseball talk, Gabe. Buchanan's playing today. You were at practice a couple days ago. Man, those guys are loaded. They're number 11th in the nation for a reason. There's not a lot of weaknesses. They got it all. They got defense, pitching, hitting. What'd you see over there in Bear Nation?
They have a really good pitcher, Sam Tocoyan. I know you know about him. He struck out 23 batters last year in just 13 in the third innings pitched. He is their ace now. He's going to take the bump at 11 a.m., and then Austin Watson will take the bump at 2 p.m. in the second part of that doubleheader. I think, as you said, pitching is really good for them. They have a deep pitching staff. The infield is loaded. I just looking around the infield, yeah, Drew Smith at third, J.P. Acosta at shortstop, Jett Ruby at second, and Max Bernal at first. All four of those guys are going to play D1 college baseball. And then in the outfield, you're losing a couple big guys like Josh Williams, and then behind the plate at catcher, Austin Young was a big guy for them. But I do think that they have faith in the next guys to step up. And when you're returning most of the team that won the sectional section championship a year ago, you're probably doing pretty good.
Yeah, and we've been waiting for this class to be seniors for a while and started hearing about them when they were freshmen. And so here they are, their senior year. All right, I'm going to be after the show, Gabe. I'm going to be heading over there. You probably will be too. Last question, Super Bowl prediction. What do you got?
Okay, so I heard this morning that Sean McVay was going to step away from coaching. I think that's just a rumor, but this is the type of distraction that can really hurt a team's chances. You think about what happened to the Raiders in that Bucs Super Bowl when their guy went missing and went to Mexico. Is this going to be another distraction for the Rams? Probably. You know, is it going to be that big of a distraction to tell me they're not going to win? You know, I'm going to choose the Bengals just to be on the safe side. I'm ready to be rooting for the Bengals anyway. Might as well choose them to win. And I think they're a team of destiny.
I'm going to be asking all my guests their Super Bowl prediction. I'll be revealing when the show wraps up who I think is going to win tomorrow. But, Gabe, thank you, and I'll see you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. See you at the ballpark.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, Paul Hernandez from 661 Hoops Live. More basketball talk. We'll be breaking down more of the Bakersfield area teams. Get to know them a little bit more because, hey, you never know. You guys, whoever you're rooting for, you know, if you got a kid on a basketball team, you want to know more about some Bakersfield school that might be traveling up here and playing your school in the playoffs, well, Paul Hernandez is your guy. Thank you for tuning in to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Meadows, here at First String Sports. We're talking basketball. Now, I have no idea how that came out of the radio. I thought I'd give it a shot. That was a song that we played earlier in the broadcast. But basketball, we're keeping it rolling. We have Paul Hernandez from 66 Hoops Live. He's been on the show at the beginning of the year. He did such a great job. I got a lot of feedback when Paul came on the show because, man, he broke down teams. He had some great insight into especially the boys' side. He's based in Bakersfield. And this dude hits the pavement. He's always tweeting. You guys should follow him on Twitter. He's always tweeting highlights. He's tweeting pictures. He's putting out stats. He does a great job. So I had to have Paul on. Even though the playoffs aren't set, we pretty much know who's going to be where. You know, it might be a change here and there. We'll find out a little before 4 o'clock on the basketball playoffs. But, Paul, first of all, what's going down there in Bakersfield, man? How you been?
I've been good, Paul. How you been, man?
Yeah, been great. I mean, this has been an interesting basketball season, right? You know, we talked about football and how there's there were games that were canceled and COVID and different things like that. We saw a little bit about that with basketball, but not too much. But we talked a lot about playoffs as well and how the criteria changed. And you know, Bakersfield Christian looks like they're going to be in Division One. But, you know, no more of this, you know, just pure ranking system where it doesn't matter your school size. You're just, you know, there's a base division now. When that came out, what was the prevailing thought down there in Bakersfield? Did they like it? Were athletic directors against it? What was the prevailing thought back there down there?
I would say that for the most part, but is my reception good?
No, you're good.
Okay. I would say for the most part, I've talked to quite a few coaches, not as many ADs, but a lot of coaches. And I think the overall take is that the switch was good for the most part for most teams because it prevented something like what happened with Wasco in football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you have a team that's, I think, a D4, D3 school and moved all the way up to Division One. So from every coach I've talked to, I think most of them are pretty cool with the idea of not jumping, especially being moved up. I know that was a concern for a lot of coaches in the Bakersfield area early on. I spoke with a few coaches, what happens if we, because expectations were high at the beginning of the season for certain teams, what happens if we, you know, run the table and we're a Division 3/4 school and we end up launching Division 1 and have to play against some of these powerhouse teams. So since the changes, I know there have been there's been some talk about teams moving, you know, down one division, up one division, which lobbied for it. I believe Ridgeview is one that lobbied down to D3. I know Bakersfield Christian put in an appeal to go up to Division 1, so jump 2 divisions, and I believe successfully got that appeal pushed through, which is good. I mean, I think they're a Division 1 program right now. So I think the prevailing view for most coaches and staffs have been, this is better than kind of the uncertainty of what was going on early on. You know what I mean? Like, where were we going to be? At least it gave, like, here's a base. So you know you can only go up one or down one, and less confusion on, are we going to go from Division 4 to Division 2 or from Division 1? Like, I think before this change, you had, like, Ridgeview High School and I believe Roosevelt were both in Division 4 as true Division 2 schools, you know? And so I think that kind of, and I think it eliminates some of the confusion. You know what I mean? So whether or not everybody was fully on board with it, I think it helped eliminate some of the confusion and the uncertainty of each game. I mean, I kind of liked it for that purpose because I felt like it made every game count a lot. It gave a lot of significance to, like, real good matchups. The Mount Whitney Bakersfield Christian matchup, for example, I thought that gave Mount Whitney a solid win. So if they were going to be Division 1, there would be some there'd be some backing behind it outside of just their you know, the schedule they had already had previous to that, which wasn't the most rigorous, you know, things like that. So I think the bigger concern is teams trying to jockey to get into a specific division, you know, versus being a 16 seed or a 15 seed in Division II, you know, having a higher seed in Division III. You know, I think that may be where some coaches would like to see the drop down or the pop up a little bit easier than having to appeal for it. But I do like it's taking into more consideration just the Max Preps rankings. That's the part I really like about it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think with the old system, what we would have seen, it would have been, I don't know, there have been a lot of talk. You would have probably seen some teams in Division IV and Division V who would have won a Central Section Championship with maybe a 500 record or below, right? That's how it would have played off. So, instead, you know, I mentioned Sierra. They're 21-7. Looks like they're going to be a top seed in Division IV. So we're going to see some really good teams win those divisions instead of an underachieving team, like we saw in volleyball a little bit, like an underachieving team win a Central Section Championship. So I'm glad a lot of that is going to be taken care of. So you mentioned Bakersfield Christian, right? And then Centennial right now is projected to be the number two team in Division One. Mm-hmm. Another South Valley school looks like Independence might get the sixth seed. What can you tell us about those teams?
So I've been fortunate to see Bakersfield Christian quite a bit this year. Again, they had a really good schedule, scheduling a lot of teams from different areas. Garrett Brown, head coach, has done a good job of really trying to add quality opponents to their schedule, and specifically not just playing the teams locally. You know, so it's been fun to watch them play. They're really driven by their 1-2 punch, Jackson Tucker and Eric Cheney. Those two, when they're clicking, they're a really tough team to beat because it just, the defense has to focus attention on them, and it frees up their shooters. They don't have a ton of size, so that their Achilles heel is lack of height, and so that hurts them on the rebounding sometimes. And then also if the three ball's not going. They are a team that when the three ball's falling, they're a tough team to beat, and I could see them winning the Division One. But, you know, if that ball's not going in on a given night, that's where they can struggle. So going back to, like, the Mount Whitney game, the first half, I mean, they couldn't buy a shot, you know, and they got down really big. Second half, they were hitting everything. Also, I watched them play against Golden Valley a couple weeks ago, and, you know, this may get to one of our last topics that you had mentioned, but the first half, Jackson Tucker hadn't scored at all, had no rebounds, and I think one assist. Second half, he comes out, puts up 31 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and it was like, so, you know, their ability to just, when they start hitting threes, it's, like, contagious, and they're really tough. Yeah. So I like Bakersfield Christian as far as, like, having that go-to guy with a Jackson Tucker, like a guy that give him the ball, he can go get you a bucket, and same with Eric Cheney. Centennial, on the other hand, to me, I've seen him 3 times in the last week. I didn't see him too much during the holiday season. They were playing in some tournaments that I wasn't around, so I didn't get a chance to see him much. And then during league, obviously early on with some of the COVID stuff, games were rescheduled. So I saw him 3 times in last week. And what I love about their team is their depth, and it's quality depth. They're a team to me that reminds me more of some of like the Clovis teams where they're subbing in guys kind of in waves. They're able to keep the pressure on, but it's quality basketball players. They have size. A couple kids around, you know, they got a 3 or 4 6'5" guys. They've got a solid point guard, so they get good point guard play from EJ West, Elijah West. They got a smooth shooting guard who's their leading scorer in senior Blake Dibble. I mean, the kid just hit 5 threes in a row the other day. He's a catch fire, really good player. They've got a great sophomore cast. Their top sophomore is a 6'5" kid, Rippin Gill. He's kind of a wing forward guard. He can play multiple positions, shoots the ball really well. So Centennial's depth, I think, gives them a real chance to, again, make a real big impression and the talent level they have. They're coached by Stephon Carter, who went to Garces High and I believe CSUB after that, played some ball overseas. So he's really kind of generated this vibrant culture. And you know how that is. When coaches generate that culture, kids attract to it. And so they've been able to build a really deep squad. And last night I watched them play against Frontier. The first time they played, it was a 1-point game. They blew them out last night, 65-40. And
yeah,
they stepped on from the very jump.
Didn't Frontier only have 9 points at half? Did I see that right on your Twitter?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I was skeptical of posting a first quarter score, so I just take them to the half.
I saw it.
Yeah, they held them 9 points. Yeah, and it was it was style of play. It was the pace and, again, their ability. And you know this with the Clovis team, specifically West, North, East. You know, they're subbing guys in and out, and it keeps the freshness on the court. And the Centennial does a really good job of that. I like their depth. Independence, as far as the third Bakersfield team in there, they did lose one of their bigs this year Davis, Kerryon Davis, 6'5", 6'6", big body. He has a knee issue. I believe it's a torn ACL or MCL. I'm not sure. That really hurts Independence when it comes to size in the post. But again, they've got that player. Cameron Brown, 6'5", senior guard, wing, who averaging about 20 points a game. He's leading the team in rebounds, assists, and points. When he comes out and can assert himself the way he's able to, it opens up things around them. The other thing with Independence is they play three freshman guards, which is a lot of pressure. You know, when the postseason kicks in, it kind of reared its head a little bit against Golden Valley last Saturday, where they suffered a loss that kind of knocked him out of first place. So Independence does have that guy that can get you buckets and that can put up big numbers, double digits, you know, 20 points, 10 rebounds. But with regards to the supporting cast, and I think just the lack of size on the glass, that if they end up with a matchup against Central having to go on the road, those are Central's strengths, size, length, and athleticism. It could cause them some problems. I think depth and lack of experience as far as older players go. I mean, three freshman guards, and they're all really good. But that's a lot of pressure on three freshman guards. So that's kind of where I see those three. I think I would not be surprised to see BCHS Centennial in the championship game. Independence, I think their road is going to be a little bit tougher. And again, having to go on the road to Central right out the gate, if that's the case, that's going to be a tough one.
Talking with Paul Hernandez of 6'6 Hoops, 6'1 Hoops Live, breaking down the Bakersfield schools like nobody else's business. This is great. So there's actually some projected updates. I guess the Max Preps did update last night, so there might be a few changes
before we talked.
Yeah, is there anything that you saw that looks like maybe Lamore? No, Lamore's there. Bullard looks like might be playing Centennial. Gosh, so that's a defending champ. I've seen a lot of Bullard this year. You know, they got the big kid Lawan Watts.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrick is a really good player, really good point guard. So yeah, it looks like Bullard might be traveling down to Centennial. And then Independence and Central, like you mentioned, Independence will go on the road and play Grizzlies out. Yeah, I've seen Central a few times. They had that huge lead against Clovis West, a game we did on 1430. And, I mean, two schools of thought, right? I mean, one is like never doubt Clovis West ever, right? They're always good for one more run. And you mm-hmm. mentioned how they love to sub and keep the kids fresh on Central side. You know, I talked to Coach Streets before the game. He's like, yeah, I just kind of need one senior to really step up and take control late in the game. And sure enough, you know, they're up 22. You expect to win, and they lost in overtime in that game. But it looks like Buchanan then against Bakersfield Christian would be the opening round matchup. Now, I think, I know Bakersfield Christian's got a good team, and Buchanan just, they play tough, hard-nosed defense, right? That's a Does Bakersfield Christian, do they like to play up-tempo, like to score in the 70s? Are they okay scoring in the 50s? Because if they play Buchanan, Buchanan's going to try to get that game in the 50s.
Yeah, so they played earlier this year, early on. And my only concern with Buchanan at this point is the roster has been has shifted a little bit with some players. I don't believe they're any longer on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And some kind of key guys. I do like what they have. They do play tough. I just feel Bakersfield Christian will have too much firepower for them at this point. I know they struggled in league play, Buchanan did. But again, I mean, it's opponents you've already played once. Bakersfield Christian won it fairly easily, although it was pretty contested early on. They kind of pulled away later in the second half. It was early in the season as well. So those kind of could be trap games. I mean, I've talked to even the Clovis West, some of the Clovis West staff, and they've even talked about the matchup with North, you know, and potentially looking at the open division in round one. They've played them three times. They beat them three times. It's hard to beat a team four times in a season, you know. So I would say for Buchanan, yes, keeping the score low does definitely benefit them because, like I said, with Bakersfield Christian, if their 1-2 punch gets going, the they end up with guys like Zach Hybert, Quentin Ocampo, a couple other kids they got that, you know, come off the bench that are just kind of catch and shoot three guys. But when you're wide open, that catch and shoot three is a lot, and especially at home, that thing's going to fall a lot better. So it really does depend on how and Jackson kind of was having some just minor season injury stuff, you know, sorenesses and this and that. So they were able to kind of rest him a little bit down the stretch against some teams that weren't really threats in league. And he played, I think their second to last game this last week was against Ridgeview, and he had about four or five phenomenal dunks. So he looks like he's healthy and ready to go for the postseason. But I mean, like you said, the Buchanan and the Clovis schools are tough. You know what they're going to bring. They're going to keep the pressure on you the whole game. I would be really shocked, though, I think, if Buchanan on the road was to pull out a win over BCHS. I think that's a tough one.
Again, Division One's good.
And even same with Bullard, yeah. I think Bullard, I like what they bring to the table. It's the depth, and also their guards are pretty young, too. After you get past Tyrick and Lawan, it gets pretty youthful. So
Yeah, I agree. Again, for basketball playoffs, Open has four teams. Division One's going to have eight, and then the rest of the divisions have 16. Paul, again, you've seen a lot of basketball this season. You've followed the high school scene for a long time. What's your opinion of, like, the quality of basketball? How is it in Bakersfield? You know, talk about, you know, like a state champion came out of Bakersfield last year, right? Was that last year?
Two years ago.
2 years ago. You know, what can you say? What about the quality of basketball down there as a whole and then in the central section as a whole? Do you think it's up this year? You think it's down? You think COVID had, you know, something to say with it, with not doing as much in the summer? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with people throughout the section and even throughout the state. You're seeing it's had a negative effect, definitely. I mean, even if you look at the top four teams, you know, St. Joe's has got their kind of top three guys, and then after that it kind of dwindles down pretty significantly. Same with San Joaquin. I think West and North are in good spots. They got good depth. But if you're just talking about the overall quality, I had a really good conversation with Wes Davis, who was the state champ coach for Foothill about 3 or 4 years ago. And him, myself, and a few others, and we're talking about things that are, you know, why is the level of play down? And I think a lot of it, what I've seen this year, so like a team like Golden Valley, for example, the Golden Valley Bulldogs in Bakersfield, they have a 6'6 player, and these are all quality guys too, 6'6 kid in Markel Brooks, 6'5 in Kamani Jackson, who can shoot the three ball, is kind of a wing forward, 6'2 guard in Jermaine Dabbs. Like, that's a lot of size and skill. Then they brought over a kid, Jalen Slaughter, who's a really good point guard from Miramonte High School. On paper, they look like the team to kind of come out and surprise everybody and possibly win the South Yosemite League over BCHS and Independence. And what I've seen this year from the seniors is they didn't get a year last year, especially in the Bakersfield area, because the Bakersfield teams played few games last year. I think the team that played the most was like 9, including playoffs. So what you're seeing is not just a lack of, you know, being around the coaching staff, having coaching staffs that can really work with teams and kind of get stuff together, structure things kind of throughout the year in different periods, but also a group of seniors that didn't get to watch seniors lead the year before them. And so the kind of leadership characteristic that you expect from your seniors and the kind of play that you would expect, I think that's been one area that I've seen that's a suffering point with regards to the effects of COVID, you know? And I don't know, you know, hopefully that kind of starts to replace, which I think it is, you know, a lot of them had to learn on the fly. But those expectations you have for your senior guys, I think that's probably been the part that's been hurt the most, even with the teams that got to play a lot last year, you know, in Bakersfield Christian this year. You didn't have, you know, even though they played 30 games or something like that last year, played a great schedule, but it was a really condensed season. It was at the very end. And then, you know, you take away Seth Marantos, senior point guard, four-year varsity starter. And there's been times this year where they're missing that leadership key. I mean, Jackson Tucker's done a good job with it, Eric Cheney as well. But it's, you know, they're kind of just still lacking that little bit that you would have had from a kid like Seth Marantos last year. So I think that's one thing. And then, yeah, overall skill development, lack of access to gyms. You know, you can tell the kids that were able to get work in and also play. And then I think kids playing AAU basketball / club basketball, depending on where they were playing, who they were playing for, you know, a lot of the players played locally in the central section throughout the club season. So they played a lot at Bakersfield. They played a lot in kind of the Visalia area. And it's not a knock, but you're not getting that same level of competition you do when you go down to SoCal, or you go to NorCal, or you go to Vegas, you know, and you play in these bigger tournaments. So I think also the level of competition that a lot of the players faced in the off season probably wasn't as high as it's been in the past. And so the level of battle testedness is what I've also did. That's just my personal take that I've seen from players that I didn't expect to see this year, based on, again, what I would see, like, looking just on paper at a roster.
Yeah, I agree. All great stuff. We could be talking for about another hour. Paul Hernandez from 661 Hoops Live. Always appreciate your time, man. You really can break down things. I would call you an expert, man. You're an expert in high school hoops. Appreciate you as always. Last question. We've got about 10 seconds. Super Bowl pick. Really quick, who you got?
It's easy for me. The Rams, because I'm watching it with my nephew who's 8, and if the Rams lose, the whole house is going to fall apart. So I'm projecting the Rams based on emotions from an 8-year-old.
You're hoping. You're hoping.
Yes.
All right, thanks. You can follow Paul at P_33. Check him out on Twitter. Coming up after the break, the man is here, Tazell Archie, Hoover High head basketball coach. We're going to be getting to know him, talking about his team, what's going on in the Central section. Coming up on the Central Valley Sports on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here on 1430 ESPN. First String Sports is the place to be. It's a beautiful day outside. You're probably running around doing some errands, aren't you? If you're listening on the radio, come on by here. Check out First String Sports before you go to Home Depot or Target, all these other places. Let me do a little shopping. We mentioned that there's a baseball game going on in Buchanan. It's 11:06 right now. So, yeah, I'm sure they had first pitch over there. Go check out the 11th-ranked nationally Buchanan Bears. Basketball, and more basketball today. This has been a fun show so far. We got another full hour welcoming Hoover coach Tazell Archie, taking time out from Little Pates over there to come here. I always like to talk to my guys in person. It's much better than the phone. I like the eye contact and the interaction with that. But Zell's your third year coaching at Hoover. You got a 53-20 overall record. 29-1 on the court. Maybe we could say in league 20. You got some NYL championships. You're a player at Hoover. You're an alum. You had a great 4-year career at Pepperdine that we're gonna explore a little bit. Senior year, you had a great senior year though at Pepperdine, didn't you? Excited
absolutely,
about that.
Absolutely.
We broadcasted your game on Thursday against Sunnyside, that 57-47 win. That was a good win. That was a lot of fun. Talk about your team a little bit. You know, get into that game. I know you got a big guy in the middle. You got Swillis that can control the game. First of all, talk about your team a little bit. What do you like about your guys?
Man, I love the thanks for having me. I love the resiliency in these guys. We've been kind of shorthanded. We've suffered a lot of different calamities with injuries and then dealing with COVID and some forfeits. But we've just had a next man up mentality, anchored by, like you said, Anthony Swillis. He's a third-year guy for us, and he's starting to get mean. We've been wanting him to get mean and kind of just, you know, use his dominance, use his size, and it's starting to click for him. And against Sunnyside, he really did a good job of staying under the basket, patrolling the paint on both ends, and we went through him and was able to get the win.
One of the things that I love to do, not only when I'm broadcasting a game, but just watching the game, is coaches' interactions with what's going on in the court, adjustments, how you interact with the players. And you talk about that toughness, that meanness. So, you know, we talk about Swillis and how he was the best player on the court, in our opinion, right? And you need to be the dude, right? How are you able to instill that kind of confidence in kids, right? Is there a balance, right? Obviously, you're a player's coach. People want to play hard for you. But how are you able to balance when you really get into a kid and then when you put your arm around him and say, you know what, bro, let's do this?
Well, like you said, that you got to have that balance. You know, if you want to have that tough love, you have to know that they have to know that you love them just as much as you care about the success that they bring on the court, they need to know that you care about their success in life. So I really push academics, and I'm checking on their grades, complimenting, patting them on the back with their GPA. So we're talking about just a lot of life skills so that when it gets on the court and they mess up and, you know, they get chewed out a little bit, it's okay because there's that positive reinforcement has already been laid. So the negative reinforcement or the consequences, it doesn't sting as much because they know it's coming from a place of love.
Yeah, that's important. What did you respond better to when you were playing? Did you like the hard-nosed coach where you knew they were trying to take care of you not only as a person, or what motivated you the most as a player?
Absolutely not. Like every other kid, nobody likes to get yelled at and chewed out. But for me, coming from the household that I did with my mom and my grandfather, setting a standard of expectation for behaviors, I was more scared of what was going to happen if they heard of me acting up. So for me, I kind of let that be my guiding light. And then playing under Coach Moore, he was an old school coach, yeah. Right? So I kind of knew that, you know, you come in, you go to work, keep your head down. So I really didn't buck the system too much. He wasn't really a player's coach, but he let us have freedom if we showed the ability to handle it. So right from the very beginning, he gave me the ball, and I was a student of the game. So I didn't get yelled at a whole lot. So I didn't have to deal with a whole lot of that.
Talk about a little bit more about this team. We're going to get into your playing career a little bit more. But talk a little bit more about this team. You guys, you mentioned some adversity you guys have gone through in the next man up mentality. Has this just been – you know, an odd year altogether? You guys had some COVID issues or some forfeits that, unfortunately, in league, you guys weren't even beat this year on the court, but you guys aren't the champions, right? Sunnyside, you guys beat them. They're 9-1, but officially you guys are 7-3. Is it just been a strange, odd year for you?
It's been absolutely strange and wacky. I've talked to some of the other coaches in the NYL, some of the veteran coaches, Chiz over at Roosevelt. He's been in it for a long time. Yeah. And, yeah, we've never seen a year like this. So like you said, on the court, we are unbeaten. But due to different forfeits and whatnot, our record doesn't show that. But for me, it's really just building the process and letting the kids see the process. For us, it started in the summer and all the hard work that they put in. And now I told them at the very beginning of the year, you know, we have close to 100 days of work. That's 100 days where we can get better, and we only have 25 to 30 opportunities to show that on game night. So you have a lot of opportunities to get those wins in practice, and we've gotten a lot of those. Unfortunately, the record doesn't show it because of some of the wackiness, but the growth that these kids have showed has been immeasurable. So overall, it's definitely been a successful run for us.
Talking with Tazelle Archie, Hoover boys basketball coach. You mentioned earlier how important grades are and how that was instilled in you by your upbringing, about your family, right? So culture, good players, right, is ingredient for a good team, work ethic. Why are you so huge on those things, especially grades? You talk about checking in on grades, and you're very proud of the GPA that your players have. Why is that so important to you?
I mean, that was instilled in me at an early age. You know, my grandfather always preached, and he was a preacher, a pastor, actually. Faith, education equals success. And so that was instilled in all of us. And so I've kind of carried that with me my entire life. Went to college, got a degree. So that's the expectation that I have for my children as well as all my players. And I treat my players like family. So for me, it starts in the classroom. You know, before you even play a game, you have 2.5 months of school. And so, again, you have the opportunities to get those successes, change the narrative on yourself, and be looked at in a better light from teachers. And know that creates confidence. And so whether the kids know it or not, I understand that. And so for me, grades are hugely important. There's two rules that we have, is that each player is going to be teachable in the classroom, coachable on the court. And so we really focus on that. We do grade checks, GPA. And it's funny, kids that have never really focused on grades, they start pushing each other. And the conversations around campus are, you know, how are you doing in class? And they start competing on the GPAs. Yeah. And so, like I said, you start building that winning mentality before the season even starts. And then it just kind of carries over. I believe the same behaviors that make you successful in the classroom are the same ones that make you successful on the court and ultimately in life.
And you're a teacher on campus, aren't you?
I am.
I'm a teacher as well, so I understand the value of education. So how has that helped, you know, with your relationships with the kids and checking up on their grades. You being, I mean, you're not a PE teacher. You're a classroom teacher, right?
Absolutely. I teach English. Yeah.
All right. So how cool is that you're able to go back and forth and not only coach, but you're in the classroom instructing these young men and women?
Oh, it's valuable for me. You know, I have insights and I have a direct access line to all their teachers. You know, I'm just an email away. So, and then I have access to their grades. As a system we use called Atlas. And so I'm able to check on all my students' grades, where if I wasn't on campus, I may not have that access. So I can easily go stick my head in the classroom and see if my guys are in there doing what they're supposed to do. And I have a great line of communication with all the teachers on campus, all the faculty. It's a real close-knit community at Hoover. A lot of alumni come back to teach, myself being one of them. And so, yeah, just being on campus and having the students know that I'm there, I think has definitely helped us a lot.
And we're definitely going to be getting into your playing career back at Hoover and some of your Pepperdine days as well. But talk about your journey as a coach. You get started a little bit late, right? You didn't get into coaching right after you stopped playing ball? Like, what was that journey like?
Yeah, no, officially, this was my first stint at coaching. Was 3 years ago at Hoover. It had never been an assistant or anything, so I just jumped in it head first. Now, obviously, I played for, you know, over 20 years and 10 years as a pro, played Division I for 4 years, so I really lean on all my playing experience, and I played for so many different coaches, coaches that some of them had coached in the NBA, so having a lot of that experience from a player standpoint is what I've taken from it. I think it's good because I don't have any old bad habits to break. Everything's brand new, so there's a fresh viewpoint coming from me as a coach. I just love the opportunity. I actually got mad at a lot of my friends that have been in the coaching ranks because they didn't push me to do it sooner. I love it. I really do. Yeah. But like you said, I did get a late start coaching, but I'm just making up for lost time.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've been playing basketball for a long time, right? Yeah, I mean, late start. What does that mean? So it's when you put on the Hoover High coaching shirt for the first time, right? As an alum of the school, was there some special moment? You're like, were you excited? Were you nervous? Did you have a certain sense of pride? What was going through your mind when you're like, yeah, this is my program?
All of those things, you know, it was like a kid again. I was in the mirror before practice, you know, trying on different looks and tuck my shirt in or untuck. Where do I put my whistle? No, I was super excited. But for me, as soon as I got the job, in the summer, I got right to work. So before it was even official as far as practice starting, I was in the gym. So I had about 3 months of being in the gym with those guys every single day in the weight room. I was the de facto strength and conditioning coach. We were on the track. So that part, you know, it wasn't very new because I had been around the guys for 3 months. So that first practice was a little funny. I had talked with Coach Sharkey and Coach Moore, you know, some of my mentors, and I remembered how they used to do it back in when I was in high school, and they had the piece of paper, you put your practice plan and you fold it and tuck it in your in your waistline. And so I tried that look.
It wasn't working or what?
I forgot about it. I forgot it was there. You know, I got so excited with the practice that, you know, I'm out there jumping in the drills with them. You know, I junked the practice plan.
Yeah.
And it's just been off and running ever since then. But, again, you know, I tell myself daily and my wife that it's really a dream come true for me. I really don't look at it as a job. So just excited to be back in my alma mater, being able to impact these young lives in a positive way.
100%, and I know you have some great memories of the school as well. Let's go back a little bit to your playing days. You call it the new gym? What do you call it? The new arena? What do you call the new one?
It's the Jake Center, named
Jake
after
Center.
Jacobson. But for us, it's the Event Center.
Event Center, that's right. Okay, so but you played in the West Gym, the famous West Gym that's actually getting a little bit of an overhaul. You know, what's the best way? I want you to describe that gym instead of me because you played in it. What was that gym like?
One word would be raucous, right, to describe the crowd. As far as the size, Cracker Jack box.
Yeah.
I think Cracker Jack box. But anybody that's from that era knows how it was playing at Hoover, right, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I played there in the 90s. Standing room only. Fire marshals coming, knocking at the door, threatening to, you know, kick people out. news lined up on the baseline. Just a great atmosphere to play under. Completely different than some of these newer huge venues. It's funny because now I'm at the age where a lot of people that I went to school with, I'm coaching their sons. And so with Facebook being around, you see a lot of old pictures and memories being posted. And to see the environment that we came up in, I just want to recreate that for the guys that are here now. So it's definitely a special time.
Talking with Zelda Archie, Hoover, basketball legend. All right, what is your – you're laughing at that. You know it. I know you probably hate hearing that, but it's true. It's true. What are some of your great memories of that gym? Is there a specific game? Is there a specific player that you went against? Maybe you had a great game. You going back and forth against the dude. What's like some of your greatest memories of that gym?
Some of the memories for me, again, being a student at Hoover, were the rallies. Believe it or not, rallies aren't even the same. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I loved high school. I loved the time that I had in high school, and the rallies that we had at Hoover were unbelievable. Me and some of my guys that I went to school with, we still talk about that. So those are some of the best memories. As far as playing-wise, game, we had some battles with Bullard, right, being the Battle of Barstow. And then Edison always brought a huge crowd. I would say the biggest, probably most raucous game would have been my sophomore year playing with Mike Pemberthy, Adam Crowder and those guys, and Terrell Woods, Melvin Mason were on the other side, yeah. John Pleasant. We had beaten them three times that year. We beat them in the HIT, and then we beat them twice in league. And in the pregame, Coach Moore, all he said was, don't let these guys dunk. Don't let them dunk. That was our game plan. Don't let them dunk, because we thought we had their number. We had beat them three times. Early in the second quarter, Ed Malone's coming down on the fast break. He's another sophomore point guard, and, you know, I'm backpedaling. He gets to the free throw line, throws the ball up in the air. I'm like, what's he doing? We all look up. Melvin Mason jumped from outside the key, caught the lob, dunked it, swung on the rim. The momentum switched, and Coach Moore was right. That game was a hostile environment, just a fun environment. I'd probably say that Edison game was one of the most memorable.
And that was your sophomore year?
Correct.
What? How good were you guys your senior year?
Senior year, we won league. I think we were co-champions with Buchanan. That was Buchanan's first graduating class. So all those guys had taken their lumps. They were freshmen, sophomores, and juniors playing on varsity for 4 years. And then by the time they were seniors, they were studs. But we ended up – that was the first year the NYL had split to the track.
Okay.
And so we were the first co-champions in the track division. My senior year, sophomore year, we actually went undefeated in league. That was another great year, like I said, with Mike Pemberthy and them. But yeah, just some great memories, great times there at Hoover.
So come your senior year, you're starting to get some D1 looks, right? Different things like that. You ended up choosing Pepperdine. Who are some other schools that were coming at you?
Utah over there with Rick Majerus, San Diego.
Did you talk to Rick Majerus?
I did.
You got a Rick Majerus story? I'm throwing this at you. I know he's quite a character, isn't it?
He is. Donnie Daniels was the head assistant.
Got
he was
it.
The lead recruit. I did more talking with
got
him,
it.
But
all
did
right.
talk with Coach Majerus before he passed. They had a guy named Keith Van Horn who's like an All-American.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I wasn't too fond of going out to Utah. But to be able to play with a future, you know, NBA guy was very appealing to me. Unfortunately, they had a guy named Andre Miller who was there. He was there a year before me. And back then, you could, I think, gray shirt or prop 48. He was a prop 48 kid out of Verbum Day High School. And so had he not got it right in the classroom, I may have ended up at Utah playing with Keith Van Horn, which wouldn't have been a bad thing. But he took care of business, and they ended up signing Andre Miller, who went on to a 15-year career in the NBA. So a fallback plan was LMU or Pepperdine or San Diego, and not a bad second choice, right?
Oh,
Pepperdine, Malibu, being a kid from Fresno, able to go out to La La Land and Magic Johnson's Theater and Disneyland and Universal City. Universal Studios. So going out there on my visits, it just kind of blew me away. And then the team there, we had a lot of returning guys at Pepperdine. There was only one graduating senior. And so we hit it off immediately on my visit. Visits were big back then.
Yeah.
And so you know, I had a great visit at all my visits, but Pepperdine, it was something special with the guys that were returning, and I knew that that was the place I wanted to go to school.
So I'm a little bit older than you. I graduated in 89, and our big guy, 6'6", name is Jim Mosier, he went to Pepperdine. And he walked on the team, and, I mean, he was a stud. But what I remember, they had that rubber court when I was there. Do you remember a rubber basketball court in the main gym, or had they changed it by then?
They may have changed it by then. This was at Allen Fieldhouse in Malibu. Yeah. You're not talking about the Pepperdine South Central.
No, the real Pepperdine, man. Where in the cafeteria, right? The glass, you're looking out on the ocean.
Oh, man.
Right?
Look, hey, our study halls are in the library. This is study hall, right? Nobody wants to go to study hall. Our study halls are ceiling to floor bay windows that overlook the Pacific Ocean. So we had guys fighting to get into study hall for the view. I mean, yeah, not a bad place to spend 4 or 5 years in college.
Yeah, so, again, your senior year, I think you're at 9.6 points a game, 6.1 assists, led the league in steals at 2.1, right? And you guys won the league, 12-2, right?
Yeah.
Again, you got Gonzaga wasn't Gonzaga that they are now, right, back then. But, you know, he's still the LMU, but I think they were done with their – you know, with their offense, with Coach Westfall, right? They, you know, those days are done as well, and Gonzaga wasn't Gonzaga. But, man, what – West Coast Conference champs, 12-2, right?
Yeah, no, that was a big time, especially coming from where we had came from. It was kind of a reclamation project. Pepperdine was it was eye-opening, you know, did a lot of growing up there. I played for 4 head coaches in 5 years.
All right.
I was recruited by Tony Fuller. He left 3 hours before we played, number 24 ranked team in the nation, led by Steve Nash my freshman year. And then Marty Wilson took over as an interim role. Then they brought in Lorenzo Romar for a couple of years from UCLA. And then my senior year, Jan Van Bredekhoff took over. He came from St. Bonaventure, and we went on a great role. My senior year culminated by playing in the NCAA tournament and knocking off Bobby Knight. I know I'm jumping in a little bit ahead, but I'm excited about that one. Playing against Bobby Knight, the legendary Bobby Knight, and ended up beating him by 20. And we always tell a funny story that we sent him into retirement because that was his last game coaching at Indiana. So, now, fun times. We won league. Beat Gonzaga, LMU. St. Mary's was strong that year. And, definitely just a great time to be in the WCC.
So Steve Nash was a senior when you were a freshman?
Absolutely.
I get that right?
Yeah, he was a senior.
Could you tell that he was going to be the Steve Nash in the NBA? Could you tell then?
No, you didn't know he was going to be a two-time MVP of the league and a future first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, he was special. He was special with the ball. But playing against him and, you know, guys like Chauncey Billups, Mike Bibby. We played against some stalwarts back then, but, Steve Nash was no exception. You know, we knew he was going to be great, just not that great.
Yeah. Oh, man, great stories. We got to wrap this up. This is incredible. Tazelle, thank you very much. Okay, last question. You got a Super Bowl pick really quick?
I'm a
Bears. Are you a big football guy?
I'm a Bears fan. So
you don't care?
You know, we're out of it. Yeah, I really don't care. You know, I like some of the players. I like the new kid, Burrow. I like Ja'Marr Chase, but I also like, you know, OBJ and Donald, Jalen Ramsey. So I think my son was a DB in high school, so I'll go with the Rams, Jalen Ramsey. Now.
Okay. All right. Good pick. All right. Tazelle Archie, Hoover High Boys basketball coach. That was a pleasure, man. It was a lot of fun. Really appreciate you coming down.
That was a quick 20 minutes, man. We got
to
do
what.
It again. I appreciate it.
What.
I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, we have Toya Montgomery, Clovis West girls basketball, as our 1430 ESPN student athlete of the week. And I see Coach Craig Campbell here as well. So, yeah, it's going to have a fun conversation here on the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on 1430 ESPN. 1430 ESPN. Got a double dip on 21 Pilots as my intro. I love it. I love it. All right. We had a great conversation with Hoover boys basketball coach Tazelle Archie. And as he was leaving, he was like, man, Paul, that 20 minutes went by quick. We got to do this again. And for sure, yeah, when a Division I player starts talking about how, yeah, when we went to the NCAA tournament and we played Indiana, we knocked him out. That was Coach Bob Knight's last game. And then he keeps talking. Those are something that I need to explore more. I got to know more stories about that stuff. So, yeah, great conversation with Coach Archie. You can go back and listen to you know, this show, if you missed parts of it, go back to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website. It will be downloaded as a podcast. You could also listen to past episodes as well. Yeah, this is your home of high school sports, and it's been a lot of fun. Continuing with our basketball extravaganza here. Again, playoff seeding is going to be coming out in a few hours by the afternoon, so be sure to check out the Central Section website and see where your teams line up and where they're going to be playing next week. But we have our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week from Clovis West. Last week we had Isaac Martinez from the boys. This week we got Atoya Montgomery from the girls. Right now they're ranked 13th in the state. I think you should be higher. You're the number one team in the section. She is the leading scorer and leading rebounder. You guys came from Little Hoopsters, right? Mm-hmm. Was it at Kasner or was it at the high school?
It was at the high school.
Do you enjoy that? What is the coolest part about being able to coach? Because you guys have to go, right? After you play on Friday, you got to get up in the morning and go help the little ones. What do you enjoy about that the most?
Probably like the smile on their faces when they come in and like how they just love the game and how they're excited to see us, the players, and to be around us.
When they make a basket, isn't that the greatest thing ever? They're just start jumping around,
yeah.
Right? Do some of the girls that you coach, are they like hanging on your legs and hanging on your arms and just want to be around you, right?
Yeah.
Did you do any type of little hoopsters or little basketball like that when you were growing up?
Yeah, I did, but it wasn't for Clovis.
I know. Okay, yeah. But I'm just talking about like how you just probably looked up to some of the older players, right? Back when you were small, and so you probably realize that now how important it is for the little ones. When did your love of basketball start? Did you grow up in a basketball family? Was basketball on the TV a lot? But when did you really start loving basketball?
Like probably 5th, 6th grade, and that's when I actually started to like understand and like the game more.
Were you always taller than the other girls?
Yeah.
How tall are you right now?
6 foot.
You're 6 foot. 6 foot even?
Yeah.
Were you just like on the court and it was just really, when you were younger, really easy for you to score? Like why can't all the other girls do this, right? It's so easy. Was it like that?
Kind of. I was uncoordinated.
You were?
I was just throwing it up there.
And it'd go in sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
So you said you're a little awkward. Right? Did you really, was there a certain time you're like, hey, maybe somebody pulled you to the side and said, you're tall, right? I think you're going to be a really good basketball player. Did somebody like really take you aside and encourage you that way growing up?
Yeah. Like 4th grade, my brother was really into basketball, but I wasn't. So my dad would coach my brother, and then my uncle would come like watch and like, oh, she's tall, she should play basketball. So that's how like it started.
Is there a certain memory that you have growing up playing basketball? You're like, oh, man, this is just a lot of fun. Is there a certain moment, maybe a game growing up, a championship game or anything like that?
Yeah, last year it was lots of fun.
Yeah?
And I was just like, I love this.
Yeah.
Freshman year, too. That's when I was like, this is the life.
So we know with Clovis West girls basketball, it's not uncommon to see freshmen on the varsity, right? Sometimes Coach Campbell brings girls up just to really get experience. They might only see the court, you know, 2 or 3 minutes a game. However, just the practice time is very valuable, right? Was there some moments like your freshman year where it was too hard, where you may say, man, what am I getting myself into? This is so hard.
Yes, there's a lot of moments like that my freshman year. I was like, oh, my gosh, got to go back to practice. And then, like, the gray and the gold teams, I was like, we're finna get killed. Got to go run again. Like,
so explain that a little bit more, talking with Atoya Montgomery from Clovis West girls basketball. I've seen a few practices in my day at Clovis West. And, yeah, so explain that. What is it, the gold and gray jerseys? Is it like it's the first team against the second team? What does that look like?
It's the first team against the second team. So, like, the starters and, like, the first two, like, the six men are on the gray team, and then the ones below that are on the gold team. And it's just competition, like scrimmages and stuff like that. But my freshman year, gold would always lose to gray. So we'd always have to run and stuff like that.
Oh, so the loser runs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How do you get moved up to the gold team? You just got to prove yourself on the court?
Yeah, in practice, do the little things, you know. Yeah, the little things, go out there and just be aggressive, I think, and like try to show like what you can do to get up there and that you're actually committed to what you want to do to get up to one of the starting spots.
So when did you make the starting spot? Your sophomore year? Is that when you started?
Yeah.
Is that when you switched over?
Yeah.
Do you think that competition really helped your game? Like wanting to, you know, get in that position in practice and want to see the court more? Do you think that competition in practice really helped you?
Yeah.
In what ways?
Like, I feel like the competition, just like going at the teammates, was always fun. So I was like, okay, if I messed up this time, okay, I have to figure out a way to try to get to the bucket this way, or try to, well, if I'm not getting scoring, then how can I play defense, or how can I rebound to get up there?
Absolutely. Okay, so right now, are you guys 25-3 overall?
Yes.
25-3, just completed another perfect track season last year. Coach Craig Campbell is here jumping on. Thank you, Coach. Always great to see you and talk with you. So a player like Atoya, you know, I could tell right away as a freshman, yep, this is going to be another really good Clovis West girls basketball player. What does she bring to the program?
Well, you know, it wasn't hard to identify early that she had – obviously she has the physical stature, but she's – you know, a lot of programs, I think, would have just stuck her in the post. And we saw that there's so much more versatility to her than that. And, you know, as a freshman, you know, kids shooting a three and making a three are two different things. Everyone thinks that they're shooters. We want makers. And Toy really progressed her three-point shot to the point of she's not just a tall kid that can shoot a three. She's a legitimate three-point shooter. And so you take the fact she can get to the basket. She can put people on her back and post. She's, you know, can be an animal on the glass and then stretch the defense with a three. You know, yeah. When being able to score at all three levels. And you know, not only at the high school level where she's such a mismatch, I mean, you put a big on her, we're going to bring her out. You put a little on her, we're going to post her up to take advantage of that. But just the versatility to transition to the next level of being a 3-4 type of player, depending on the system that, you know, she ends up playing in, to have that versatility of, you know, she doesn't have to be just this or just that. And so seeing all those, all the potential come together for her and molded into a more refined, multidimensional scorer is really been fun to watch.
Toya, so obviously you guys are having another successful year. You've had two successful years before. You're a junior right now. Who are some of your teammates that you enjoy hanging out with? And talk about some of your teammates out there.
Kennedy, for sure. Like, I love hanging out with Kennedy. That's my girl.
Kennedy Vincent, senior,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, like, we've always been, like, sisters. Like, we've always just had each other's back since my freshman year, and we've always been tight. Athena, Michaela, Araya, like, we all grew up with each other, so that's just family, and it's fun just being around them. Everyone, I'm cool with everyone on the team. Like, I love the team, so I have fun with everyone.
Talking with Atoya Montgomery, Clovis West girls basketball. Okay, you guys are known for your team building experiences, right? Did you guys still do the cabin deal in off season?
We didn't this year because of the COVID spike back up again.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, along with our out of town trips and stuff, we do activities there as well. So,
are there some team building things that coach has done that? You know, you talk about how it's a family, right? And you really enjoy the girls. Is there some specific things that you guys have done? I know road trips are big. You guys have taken two big ones this year as well. Are there some cool team building moments that you can share with us?
The beads. So we have everyone gets a different color bead, and you go around to each teammate and say something meaningful to them, or like what you like, your favorite memory. And I feel like that gets very emotional. And after that, the girls are just, we're just super tight after that.
So you give beads to somebody else and you say something positive and something that speaks life into them. And then they also do it back to you?
Yeah.
So each girl gets her own color. Like, say Toya has 15 blue and you have 15 yellow and I have 15 red. I'm going to go around and give one of my red beads to each person.
Got it.
And so at the end, they're going to have a strand of all the different beads that represents their teammates, but they had to give something emotional, something positive about their teammate and meaningful about it, and it turns into a big cry fest. it's been way heavier and way more time and emotion than you would think, but that's that connection level.
Yeah.
You know, you want the kids to play for each other and to be vulnerable with each other, and so.
Do you have those beads from the past? Where do you put those? Where do you store them?
Mine are on my dresser because sometimes they break, so I have all my beads like on in my dresser and stuff like that.
It's probably good to look at every once in a while. Maybe you're having a bad day. I know how tough it is this day and age, you know, with COVID and, you know, school being, you know, inconsistent at times. So it's probably a good reminder, right, to look at that every once in a while, like, oh, yeah, that's a good memory. I want to ask about basketball on the court. What's your favorite type of play out there? I'm talking, you know, getting an offensive rebound, putting it back up, you know, with three girls surrounding you. Do you like giving an assist, right? Or do you like a drop step power layup? What's your favorite type of move out there?
I don't really have a favorite.
What gives you the most satisfaction in a game?
Probably like my fast break. My layup package is on my fast break layups. Is my favorite.
And she got some speed too, right? I mean, she's not a 6 foot lumberer down on the court.
No,
she
we're trying to get rid of that. We called her grandma as a freshman because she ran like she was 82 at times. And so we're cracking her out of that grandma mold.
Can you grab the rim right now? Are you no? Okay, all right. I just threw that out there. I didn't know. All right. So you guys are now entering playoffs, right? Open division. You've won two Central Section championships as a player, freshman and sophomore year. Is the goal to win a state title and a Central Section championship? Is it more of just playing the best of your ability? What does Coach preach, and what's your expectation with that? You just kind of play your game and let the scoreboard take care of itself, or do you just like, we really have to win?
I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I really want to win and, like, just prove to, like, everyone, like, this is us. Like, we can get there. That's what we do. So, I do want to win state. Like, that's going to be big.
Yeah.
And I believe that we can do it.
You have two rings, right?
Right.
Where are those rings? Talk about the beads on your dresser. Where are those rings right now? Do you know where they're stored?
They're my dad's. My dad keeps them in his room.
So, Coach Campbell, you've had quite a few players with four, 4 for 4 on rings, right? That's pretty special.
Yeah.
You think a player like Toya can, you know, you think something like, you know, is that a goal for her, or where do you see her in the, you know, in the program that way?
Well, I think, you know, again, we knew back in 6th and 7th grade Toy was going to be the next CW great. And so, you know, we've had a lot of kids that have gotten 4, but that's definitely something that should be, you know, a goal in Toy's legacy.
Yeah.
You know, because she's a player that can catapult and put a game on her back and take over a game. And so, you know, not every kid has that ability. You know, you have kids of different roles. But Toy's one of those kids that can absolutely just take over a game. And so, you know, you combine a couple of those kids together and you have a really special group. And, you know, we've got some of that. And so, you know, between what Toy brings to the table and her teammates around her, you know, that should absolutely be a goal for her and her legacy.
Toy, what's the most intense basketball game you've played? And I know you guys have those three losses this year. We're two in Texas, maybe, and one in Arizona.
Yes.
Did I get that right? What's the most intense basketball game that you can remember playing in?
I think last year St. Joe's was intense. To me,
Centennial,
that was really intense. Those two probably the most intense.
How are you able to, block everything out and focus on the court, or is that something that you've had to learn because the gym gets loud? There's people, you know, yelling. Maybe the balls, you know, your offense isn't working like you thought, and just it's just kind of chaos out there. Are you able to block that out sometimes? Is it hard to focus, or is that something that you really had to learn?
I don't think it's hard to focus. I think I'm pretty good at blocking it out.
How about when the Clovis West gym gets super, super loud? How fun is that? Talk about how great those memories are.
Yeah, that's super fun. It's like a confidence boost, I think. It's like, yeah, we got to work harder. Let's go.
Well, and Paul, we try to deliberately build a lot of adversity into practices to where there is calm in the storm. And so, you know, some of the drills we do at times, the first times you do it, their heads are spinning, their frustrations are mounting. And, you know, we want the game to slow down for them in those moments. And so I think between being a junior now and the level of player she is, in addition to what we try to deliberately do in practice, I think the game, you know, has slowed down for her to where, you know, she doesn't get too rattled or too down anymore. And you're able to, you can even coach her hard into moments, and she looks and she's like, okay, I got you, rather than, you know, shutting down or, you know, upset with the last play or something.
Yeah, exactly. Again, they're teenage kids, aren't they? Yeah. Sometimes we forget about that. All right, Toya, only got a couple minutes. This has been a lot of fun talking with Toya Montgomery from Clovis West Girls Basketball. What is your favorite pregame meal? If you could have any meal before a game, what would it be?
Shrimp Alfredo.
Have you had that before? You guys serve that?
Well,
or is that just what you would want?
That's hers at home.
That's mine at home.
Oh, you do it at home. Got
it. Or like before the game, it's not really a meal, but like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, okay.
That hits before the game.
What kind of jelly? Grape? Strawberry?
It has to be grape. It has to be the goober.
Oh, the goober? Okay.
Yeah.
Out of the jar. How about those Uncrustables? That's what they're called, right? Those circle ones? Do you eat those at all?
Mm-mm.
No?
It has too much peanut butter.
It does. I agree. Not enough jelly, too much peanut butter.
Bad ratio.
It's about terrible. 72 to 28. Yeah. All right. You have a favorite NBA player?
Yeah.
Who you got?
You say Harden, you're not starting the next game.
Oh, gosh.
LeBron James.
That'd probably be the second worst answer for Coach Campbell.
Kevin Durant, probably.
He's okay.
KD.
We can work with KD. I don't know about those other two as well. All right. Last question, Toya. You've been fantastic. This has been a lot of fun. Do you have future college plans? Would you love to play college basketball? Would you want to play D1? What are your plans or what are your goals?
I do want to play college basketball. I'm not really worried about, like, going D1 or D2. It's just wherever where I like it, where I fit in at, where, like, my style of play.
Excellent. Great answer. All right. Toya Montgomery, Coach Craig Campbell, thank you, guys. Playoff seedings, 100% Clovis West is going to be the number one in the open division. Coach, really quick, is it going to be Tuesday, Thursday games for you guys or Wednesday, Fridays?
For us, it'll be Saturday in the open.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, there we go, because of four. All right. Yeah. You know about – are the other girls' games going to be
Tuesday? I believe
Tuesdays or
it's Wednesday, but so, I'm not positive.
Okay, but your games are going to be on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday and Saturday.
Got it. Okay, all right. Thank you guys for coming into First String Sports. This has been a lot of fun. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, coming up after the break, we're wrapping it up. 2 hours just fly by on the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, on 1430 ESPN.
Son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
2 hours always just fly by here. Have so much fun on 1430 ESPN. Got a lot of thank yous. Thank you to First String Sports for being such gracious hosts. Love coming down here every Saturday morning talking high school hoops with players and coaches and getting feedback from you guys. I love feedback. If you guys got anything positive to say, let me know. If you want something improved, if you want to hear more of something, let me know. I'm cool with it. I'm here for you guys. Again, thank you, First String Sports. You guys are amazing. I want to thank Gabe Camarillo back at home base talking high school hoops, projections of the playoffs, a little bit of Clovis' new football coach, a little bit about Buchanan baseball. I saw that Buchanan is up 1-0 early. I want to thank Paul Hernandez of 661 Hoops Live for breaking down the Bakersfield schools. I want to thank Tizelle Archie, Hoover Boys basketball coach. great stories. Again, when you hear a story, and it wasn't a throwaway line, but when you hear him say, yeah, we beat Indiana in the NCAA tournament in round one. That was Bob Knight's last game as coach. We basically knocked him off of his career. I want to explore that a little bit more. Oh, great stories from Tazelle. I want to thank him. And then we just talked to Atoya Montgomery, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Coach Craig Campbell jumped in a little bit as well. Always fun to talk to him about basketball and other things as well. So, again, Central Section playoffs for soccer and basketball are going to be announced on the website later this afternoon. Check that out. We'll be covering high school basketball next week as well. So, in closing, be kind, be generous, be passionate in everything you do, and leave it all in the field. Talk to you soon.